Good morning. Yes. So today's passage is Mark 14, verses 1 through 11. And if you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 826. And this is going to sound very familiar to the ladies in the Wednesday morning Bible study, because we were studying in John, but we dug into all of the other passages regarding this event. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." And then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. And thanks, Becky. I really get irritated by wastefulness. Don't you? When you have to scrape food off your kids' plates into the trash, when you have to take two trips into town because you forgot something and you spent twice as much gas, twice as much time. I hate when the lights get left on in the house and I'm walking around shutting them all off, shutting off the air conditioners. Being stuck on the phone with customer service. And you're like, I have other things that I'd rather be doing than waiting for Xfinity to get around to helping me. I've got things to do. I've got work. I've got even fun things I'd rather be doing. Wasting time is so irritating. Don't you hate that? And we do all that we can to avoid waste in our society, in our lives, even though you could argue we are a very wasteful society, throw a lot of things away. We all hate waste. On the other hand, I guarantee it that every single one of us spends our money and time on something that someone else considers a big waste. For example, this week I got a package in the mail. And it was a new coffee grinder, which retails for $200, although I got it on eBay for $130. Now you could say, that is such a waste of money. I get my coffee pre-ground in the can, right? But I love good coffee. And you see, a good grinder evenly grinds the beans so that there's better flavor extraction, so that you can taste all of the goodness of the coffee beans. It's worth it to me. It's worth it to me. You know, some of you spend, I don't know how much, on ESPN and Nesson to be able to watch all the Sox games. Some of you have pretty expensive campers in your yard that you use twice a year, and others would say, that's kind of wasteful. I'm not picking on anyone here. I started with myself. Some of you probably have a lot of tools or guns, yarn, that someone else would say, what a waste of money. In the passage before us today, you heard this, a woman does something extravagant for Jesus that others say, what a waste. What a waste that you did that. You poured out that entire jar of perfume on Jesus. For what? Some stunt? Some attention thing? Some like act of piety? We could have used that for feeding thousands of poor people. What a waste. But Jesus defends her and says, she has done a beautiful thing to me. And the one thing I want you to understand and to take home today is this. Nothing poured out for Jesus is ever wasted. Nothing poured out for Jesus is ever wasted. So we're going to just look at the story in the text and then reflect upon our own lives and what it could mean for us. First, step back and look at this whole passage and notice the first two verses bring us into the back room of the temple complex somewhere where the high priests are scheming to have Jesus arrested and killed, right? And then the last two verses talk about Judas going to tell them he's willing to betray Jesus if they'll pay him some money, right? So you have these two terrible things bookending this beautiful act of devotion, like a diamond on a piece of black velvet. This woman's devotion stands out. And Mark is saying, look, this is what true discipleship is like. This is who Jesus is. He's worth this devotion. This is where it's at. So we're told in verse 3, Jesus is in the village of Bethany having dinner at his friend's house, Simon the leper. I'm sure there's a backstory there that would be interesting. Probably Simon, the man previously known as Simon the leper, who Jesus had healed. It could have been Martha and Mary's father. but here's Jesus. You know, two nights before he's killed, he is spending time with his friends eating dinner. There they are lounging around the table, talking after the meal, when something really surprising and shocking happens. This woman, who we know from Luke's gospel is Mary, the sister of Martha, has come to the dinner, and picture this with me. She's there, standing just outside the dining area. She's holding a small jar, a stone jar in her hand, made of alabaster, a precious stone. And I picture her hands trembling, because in this jar is something worth its weight in gold. It's a perfume made of pure nard, which only comes from a tree in the high peaks of India in the Himalayan mountains. And it's been imported thousands of miles to Israel and mixed by a perfumer. And now she's holding it. Perhaps it was her mother's dowry or an heirloom that has been passed down through generations. It's worth a year's salary. So let's say $50,000 for a day laborer in today's terms. And she knows what she's going to do with this jar. And before she steps into the room, she thinks, what if? What if I'm yelled at for interrupting the men? What if I regret doing this because in a few years I fall on hard times and I'll need to sell this for security? And worst of all, what if Jesus doesn't accept it? Just put yourself in her shoes. But she's made up her mind, and she wants to give Jesus the greatest gift she possibly can. So she enters the room, the men stop talking and look up at her, and they realize she's not here to clear the table. She's holding something, and they watch her come over to Jesus and raise up the jar and crack it down on the table and break the stem off the jar. And then as they look on with astonishment and horror, she lifts it up and pours the entire thing over the head of Jesus. And they're like, what? What are you doing that for? Now, if this seems like a weird thing to do, by the way, it wasn't out of the box in Jesus' day, because if you were a guest of honor somewhere, it was common for you to be offered some anointing oil or some perfume to freshen up, kind of how we might offer clean towels to a house guest or say, hey, could I get you a drink? Just a sign of honor. But not the whole jar, not the whole bottle. You know, a little dab will do ya, as my mom used to say. Couldn't you just take a little bit of that perfume and just dab it on Jesus' head? She poured the whole thing. And now the fragrance is filling the room. And actually, I was in here earlier trying to get the fragrance in this room. This is a jar of nard from Amazon, not imported directly from India. I'm going to leave this on the back after the service if you want to smell it. So for the people sitting there, this was just over the top, too much. They start grumbling, I can't believe she did that. What a waste. And then it says here that they rebuked her sharply, harshly, in verse 5. Can you imagine poor Mary in this totally vulnerable moment, and these guys start saying, who do you think you are? What kind of a little stunt is this? What a waste. You stupid woman, Jesus never asked you to do that. These are the kinds of words they might have been saying. But Jesus comes to her defense. He says, leave her alone. Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. What some call wasteful, Jesus calls beautiful. You notice that? But I think we probably have more sympathy for her critics than we realize, right? I mean, wouldn't it have been better to feed 1,000 poor families for a month than to just do this one-time act of devotion? I mean, do you have a point? Doesn't Jesus care about serving the poor? Why does Jesus defend her? You see, we are so pragmatic sometimes. We're like, what's the most cost-effective way we can serve God or, serve the poor? But God isn't pragmatic. God isn't a cost-benefit analysis kind of a person. Jesus comes to her defense and calls this beautiful. And let's see what he says about why. Reading on, in verse 7, Jesus says, the poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. This is astonishing. First of all, Jesus receives this woman's worship without blinking, right? He doesn't say, oh gosh, that's such a nice gesture, but I could never accept that. Yeah, thank you, but no thanks, right? You should save that. He receives it unashamedly, unapologetically. And then what does he say? He puts himself in this special category. You will not always have me. The poor you will always have with you. If anyone else did that or said those things, they would be a flaming narcissist, right? But Jesus is actually the Son of God in the flesh, worthy of all of our honor and devotion and love and praise and worship. He receives it. The other reason is he knows he is going to die. And he knows why he is going to die. He connects what she did to his burial. And he knows that he is about to pour out something much more valuable than perfume. The very next paragraph after this section is what? The Last Supper. This story is the introduction to the whole Passion narrative. And at the Last Supper, you remember the words we say every week, every month at communion, "This is my blood poured out for you." Mark 14:24, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Jesus gave extravagantly to us. Jesus poured out his blood. Same word, poured out. You know, there were probably much cheaper ways for God to save us than the blood of his only son. Right? Than God himself entering our world in the flesh, suffering what he did, limiting himself, submitting to death itself. That was a costly thing. Infinitely costly, right? But God is not a cheapskate. God is an extravagant giver, one with extravagant, over-the-top love. And therefore, anything we do to love and serve him is only a small reflection of that. Nothing poured out for Jesus is wasted. Mary perhaps had seen something of the extravagance of Jesus' love. Maybe it was the way that he talked to her and listened to her. Maybe it was the way that he let her sit at his feet like a disciple. But probably it was the way he had raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. And she's just so filled with gratitude and amazement and love at this man who had brought her brother out of the tomb, right? She had experienced such amazing love from Jesus that she wanted to love him in return. And this is really the heart of the Christian faith, is it not? I mean, we love because he first loved us. When we grasp the gospel, the good news that God has paid our debt and forgiven our sin, and Jesus has been raised from the dead to give us a hope forever, how can we not respond to that with devotion? Even when it's considered wasteful by other people. You know, through the centuries, Christians have done all kinds of things that looked wasteful and ridiculous from the outside. For example, in the Roman Empire, Christians were ridiculed for their charity to the dying, the sick, the disabled, the elderly. Why would you want to waste your time and money on these, you know, discards of the human race? That was the ancient worldview. We would not have hospitals or anything like that without Jesus changing the world. People did this because they loved him. When deadly plagues swept through cities, who would stay behind and risk their lives and often lose their lives to care for the dying? Christians, because they loved Jesus. What some called wasteful, they considered an offering to him. Many believers through the centuries have entered monastic orders or devoted their whole lives to prayer and study and devotion. Some would say, why that waste of potential? They could have earned money. They could have been successful. Well, they love Jesus. They think he's worth it. Christian men and women have turned their backs on fortunes and family and security to go to far-flung places and share the gospel with people who have not heard. Why? Isn't that a waste? Because they love Jesus, and he's worth it. Love for Jesus makes people do all kinds of things that seem wasteful to the outside world. Even think of an example like this. Why are we here today? Couldn't you be catching up on sleep or making some extra money? Couldn't you be doing something that you need to get done around the house and be more productive and efficient? Why are you wasting your time sitting here? Because you love Jesus, and he's worth it. Why do we have stained glass windows when those are more expensive than clear glass? Right? Isn't that a waste of God's money? Why have an arch ceiling? Why have, you know, any of the things we have in this building? We could just be in a cube with fluorescent lights and no windows. Because the beauty is helps us to love God and respond in worship. God is not a pragmatist. This woman did a beautiful thing. Well, let's turn now to be more specific and talk about ourselves. What are you willing to pour out for Jesus, knowing that nothing will be wasted? Let's talk about that now. You know, one thing that struck me as I was studying this was the phrase, she did what she could. This perfume is what she had to give. Just as two chapters earlier, the two pennies were what the old widow had to give. It's not about the monetary value of your offering or your sacrifice. It's about what can you do? What do you have that can be poured out for Christ? The other factor is that Jesus isn't actually here in the body anymore, so we can't physically give him something, can we? And so maybe now serving the poor is a way to serve Jesus. You see, anything we give simply because we love Jesus is poured out for him. So what do you have? What is it you can do? Is it a skill or a talent? Is it your time? Is it money? Is it a sacrifice that only God knows you are making for him? What can you pour out? And it can't be forced. It can't be like a law that you have to give a certain amount to Jesus. It's got to come from your heart. It's devotion. Some of us from church are getting ready to go to Costa Rica next April. We're going to work with Carlos Tejada, who's a missionary there, and his church, to go to an indigenous village and start planting seeds of the gospel. Now, some of you are going to use like a whole week of vacation time for that. That's a sacrifice. That's pouring something out. But that is not wasted if you're doing it for Jesus. Some of you are caring for ailing parents or disabled children, and nobody knows the depth of the sacrifice you are making. That's not wasted when you do it for Jesus. Some of you sit for hours in prayer or study, reading scripture, when you could be doing more productive things. That is not wasted when it's poured out for Jesus. Some of you are thinking about college and careers in the future. You know, maybe God will lead you where instead of doing what you could earn the most money at, you do what you think God could use you best for to serve others. Going into ministry or pursuing another calling simply because you love Jesus. Anything we do because we love him is poured out for him. And there are so many ways we can actually waste our time, our money, our whole lives, but not for Jesus. Nothing you pour out for him will be wasted. And it's because of love, right? If you love Jesus, that will come back tenfold. My friend Jason McConnell grew up in a coal mining town in western Pennsylvania. He was raised by his grandparents. In a book called Beholding Beauty, Jason tells the following story. And I'll read this, I'll quote this. My grandmother has always loved perfume. I remember when I was a child, every time I went into the department store with her, she would stop at the perfume counter and dab her wrists from one of the tester bottles. Then we would smell the aroma together. My family wasn't particularly poor, but my grandfather refused to buy perfume for my grandmother. As a hard-working, blue-collar pragmatist, he considered perfume an unnecessary expense. Sorry, unnecessary extravagance is what he wrote. When I was about 12 years old, my sister and I wanted to buy our grandmother a bottle of perfume for Christmas. But we didn't want to get her some cheap drugstore perfume. We wanted to get her favorite fragrance, White Diamonds by Elizabeth Taylor. Some of you probably know what that is. I'm too young, I guess. So a few weeks before Christmas, we scraped all of our money together and slipped away to the department store perfume counter. When we asked the clerk how much for a bottle of White Diamonds, she replied, $50. Our eyes almost popped out of our heads. He's 12 years old, don't forget. I was tempted to ask her if there were real diamonds in the bottle. But instead, I just asked if they had a smaller bottle. She said, I'm sorry, but this is our smallest bottle. Our hopes were dashed when we counted out only $42. But after the clerk heard our story and saw my sister sobbing, she took pity on us and paid the balance herself. To our adolescent minds, it appeared to be a Christmas miracle. When Christmas morning came, we were just as excited for Grandma to open her gift as we were to open our own. As she ripped off the wrapping paper, a look of astonishment came over her, and tears of gratitude flooded her face. I will never forget that moment, and I'll never forget the aroma of White Diamonds. An extravagant gift given in love. Simply because he loved his grandmother. How is Jesus inviting you to give to him? How much more is anything given to him, poured out for him, worth it? The one who poured out his life for us. Amen. I'm going to actually give you a moment now to reflect, to consider, maybe there's a sacrifice you're already making, pouring yourself out in some way, that you just need to hear the Lord say, I see that, I receive that, I bless that. You've done a beautiful thing. Or maybe there's something that your heart is prompting you to give. So as Alexis plays, just take a moment to pray, to reflect, knowing that nothing poured out for Jesus is wasted.